Well, we're working our way through the book of Revelation right now, and it occurs to me that now as we're hitting chapters 6 and 7 that you may have forgotten some of the things that have happened. And so like when you have a television show and they give you the first, 45 seconds or minute and a half of the show to say, here's what you may have forgotten. Just a reminder, this is what's already happened. I'm going to want to do a quick, here's what's already happened in the book of Revelation. Okay, so John is on the island of Patmos. He's in exile there. He's a prisoner there. And he receives a vision from God to the churches in Asia, the seven churches in Asia. And so he gets this vision from God and he writes to them. And essentially the essence of the message is, listen, my churches, I know you. I know what's going on with you. I know your strengths. I know your weaknesses. I know everything that's happening. And I am God and I am with you. And he encourages them to remain faithful to the gospel, to the belief that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He encourages them to remain faithful to that, warning them that if they don't, they will lose their influence, that he will come back and he will chastise them, and exhorting them that if they do, he will be with them. Okay, this is the encouragement to those seven churches. Then after he writes these letters to these seven churches as a representation of the whole church in Asia, then he says, and then after this, I saw a door opened in heaven. This is chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. He says, I saw a door opened into heaven. And it's as though God is saying, now I know what's going on down there. I know what's going on with you as individuals and with you as a church. I know what's happening. Now let me show you a little bit of what's going on here, so that you have a perspective, a proper understanding of what this is like. And so John sees this door open into heaven and begins to get this vision for what it is. And it's an inspiring vision. I mean, I repented of not wanting to preach the book of Revelation last week, because the vision in chapters 4 and 5 is that there is a throne in heaven. There is a throne in heaven, and there is somebody seated on that throne. Now, for churches that are in the midst of persecution, as the seven churches were that John was writing to, knowing that there is a throne in heaven where somebody is in control, somebody is overseeing this whole business, is a great comfort. And that around this throne, there's a sea-like glass that is perfectly calm around this throne. Even though the throne itself is awesome and inspiring, you have got to read the description of that. And around the throne are these authorities, 24 elders, who are bowing down before the throne, honoring the person on the throne, casting down their crowns. There are four living creatures that are majestic and inspiring. There are angels and multitudes around that as concentric circles. Everything revolves around this throne and the person on it, and everyone is giving praise and glory to them. And in the hand of the person on the throne is a scroll written on it on the front and on the back and all over this thing. And it is sealed seven times, this scroll, this scroll of the will of God, the things that are being revealed or will be revealed, but it is secure and it is full. And so the full will of God, the full revelation of God is here sealed up and in his right hand. And the angel says, now who is there that can come and open the scroll? Who can come and open this up to unfold the plan of God that we might see it? And he looks around and there's no one there. No one is worthy to open the scroll. And John begins to weep in this vision. Because here's God on the throne with the scroll to reveal his will, the redemption and the judgments that are to come. And there's no one worthy. Will it even come to pass? And then somebody tells him, no, stop. You don't need to weep. There is one. The lion from Judah, he can open it. He is worthy. And he turns to see this lion and sees a lamb as though slain. The lion is a lamb who, through his sacrifice, has earned the right to open the scroll. And he comes and he takes the scroll from the one on the throne. And he now has the ability to open it. And everybody breaks into worship. Everybody just starts shouting, hooray, hallelujah, holy, holy, holy. And the worship goes on and on and on in a thunderous way. And now we get to see these seals opened. Chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and on it, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that men should slay one another. And he was given a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in its hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. And behold, I looked, and a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beast of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. And they cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Then they were each given a white robe and told to rest a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? The churches in Asia are being persecuted, and they are wondering, how long is this going to go on? How long will we have to endure this? Is it worth it? Can we maintain? And this is the vision that's given to John, that here comes this one, this lamb, this conquering lamb, who is worthy to open the scroll. And he takes the scroll of the will of God, and he begins to pop the seals on this thing. Right? So you imagine a piece of paper that's all rolled up, and it has these wax seals, right? You lit a candle and the wax dripped on there, and it was sealed shut seven times. And as he pops open these seals, because he's the only one worthy of doing it, as he pops it open, some of the scroll is being revealed, and we're beginning to see what's here. And he pops open the first seal. I watched, and the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come. And I looked, and behold, a white horse. And the first thing that jumps into my mind is, a white horse in the book of Revelation? This is going to be good. Here comes a white horse, and its rider has a bow, and a crown was given to him. He came out conquering and to conquer. And so far I'm going, Okay, this is good, right? Right? Here comes a rider who can conquer. This is good, right? When he opened the second seal, I heard a second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red, and its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that men should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. And I'm going, oh. This isn't good. Peace is going to be taken from the earth. Here comes one on a horse with a sword. War is coming. Peace will be taken from the earth and people will be slain one another. And he opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse, and its rider had a pair of scales in its hand, a pair of scales like used for measuring things, for that might be used in a market to weigh out grain or food of some kind. And he says that he now hears a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius." A quart of wheat is maybe one person's food, for a denarius, for one day's wages. So enough food for one day for one person, for how much it would cost them to work for that day. "And three quarts of barley for a denarius." This might be enough to feed a family for the amount of wages that was worked for a day. "But do not harm the oil and the wine," he says. So here now we have three out of four riders as he opens these seals. And what we're seeing is sort of this picture. We shouldn't understand these riders as consecutively coming. And then this one comes, and then this one comes, and then this one comes behind them. But that we see these things, and this one, and this one, and this one, and this one. These four riders are coming concurrently. These are the kinds of things that are happening. And I would say that as we see the things that are happening here, that we have people that are conquering, that we have war that's taking place, that we have famine that's taking place. In the fourth seal, he sees opened, and I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they, the four horses, were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Now, if we're looking at the context of the scriptures and what is promised and what is happening in the scriptures, you go back to Leviticus 26 and some of the minor prophets, what you see is the promises of God is that, look, my people, when you are faithful, I will be with you, and these are the things that I will do for you. I will give you security, and I will give you peace, and I will bless you with food, and I will keep wars and wild beasts away from you. But he warns them in Leviticus 26 specifically, here are the things that will happen if you turn away from me and you turn to idols instead. Then the things that will happen is the famine will come, the wild beasts will come in, you will be overrun by other nations, you will be taken out of here, there will be death, there will be plagues. These are the things that will happen. And as we're looking at this in the book of Revelation, what we're seeing is that these are the things that are happening. That as Jesus has had the authority to come and reveal the will of God and open up the will of God, these are really normal things that are happening, right? I mean, this is stuff that happens all the time. We're constantly dealing with earthquakes and heavy rains. We're dealing with hurricanes and wars and famines, and all kinds of things are happening all the time. And what we're seeing is that God is allowing these things to happen. And they are a response to people who have turned from Him and to idolatry. Now, does this mean that when we see these kinds of things happening, that when we see wars and when we see plagues, and that we should start going, okay, let's see, now who is it? Is this your fault? Are you the one? Is this one your fault? I mean, in many ways, these are very natural things that are happening, right? They happen all the time. And what we'll see as we go further into the book of Revelation is that they have people have two responses to these kinds of things. That when these happen in our lives, we either turn to God for strength and support and comfort, or we turn away from Him. And what we're seeing here is that these four horses are representative of these forces, these things that are happening in the world, as a partial pouring out of God's wrath upon sin. It's the response of creation to the sin, the rebellion of people on the earth. And it happens all the time. But it isn't complete. It says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. So you see those who are under the altar, the place of sacrifice, the place where they are sort of covered by the altar, the sacrifice of Jesus. Here they are under this altar. And these are those who had been slain for the word of God, and they are crying out and they're saying, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And this is the reason that I see these first four horsemen as concurrent and really all the time natural kinds of things. Because now we see the fifth seal is opened, and while these things are happening, here are those under the altar going, okay, Lord, when? How long do we have to wait until your judgment comes? How long do we have to wait? And I look at this and go, wait, guys, didn't you just see the first four seals? We already have a conquering horse. We already have a horse that removes peace from the earth. We already have a horse of famine. We already have a horse of death. Doesn't that count? And these witnesses, these ones who have been slain, are going, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to allow these things to happen? How long will the wicked prevail? When will you come and when will you avenge what has happened to us because we have proclaimed your name? When will you do that? And they're looking at all of the things that have already come, and they don't see that as satisfactory. They don't see it as fulfilling God's full wrath and judgment of the sin of the earth. And so they're asking, Lord, when will it happen? When will it take place? Then they were each given a white robe, and they were told to rest a little longer. Wait. You are here, you are under the altar, you are secure, you are righteous, you've been clothed with the white robe. Now wait a little longer. Until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers should be complete, who were to be killed as they themselves had been. Wait a little longer, we're not there yet. Wait a little bit longer. We're not there yet. How long do we have to wait? And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked. And behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth. And the full moon became like blood. And the stars of the sky fell to the earth as a fig tree sheds its winter fruit when shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Now, finally, we have it. It is, as it were, the undoing of creation itself. As the light becomes darkness, and everything dissolves, and the sky is rolled up like a scroll, and the stars fall out of heaven, and everything cataclysmically comes to destruction. And then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. These are the ones that have rejected God. These are the ones that have gone and served idols. These are the ones now that the judgment of God is coming on, and they are running and hiding, all of them, from the greatest to the least. And they're hiding among the rocks and the mountains, and they're calling to the rocks and to the mountains and saying, "Fall on us. Would you come and crush us and hide us from the face of the one who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb? For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" As everything cataclysmically comes to destruction like this, they're just wanting it to be over. They're wanting to find some place they can hide, something that will crush them, something that will end it, as they see the wrath of God and of the Lamb coming upon them, and they're going, "This is unbearable. Who could stand this?" As everything from sun to mountains is being destroyed, and they themselves are standing there, unable to stand, being crushed under the weight of the wrath and judgment of God. And we're left with this question at the end of chapter 6. Who can stand? Who can stand the wrath of God? Who can stand the judgment of God? Who can stand? And the implied answer, I mean, the way they're phrasing this question, they don't expect that anybody could. But just like he wrote the letters to the churches and then he opened up the window for us to see what was going on in heaven, so here God gives us the picture of what is happening with the forces of the first four riders, the first four seals. What is happening with these judgments? And then he pulls back the curtain so that we can see the other side of what's happening in chapter 7. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on the earth or the sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God. And he called out with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." So we're left at the end of chapter 6 with the question, who can stand? And at the beginning of chapter 6 in verse 1, we have four angels who are standing. And what are they doing? They're holding back the wind. They're restraining. This is why words are failing me. This is why those who are under the altar are crying out, "Lord, how long?" Because they're seeing in the first four seals that yes, this wrath of God is being poured out upon the sin of the world, but it's not full yet. It's not there yet. They are seeing that it's being restrained. And now we have these four angels that we're getting this picture. Oh, when these four riders come in, there are angels that are holding them back. that it might not be complete and utter destruction at this point, but they're holding them back and they're restraining it. God in His patience is holding back His wrath. And what is He waiting for? He's waiting. This other angel comes, ascends from the rising sun with the seal of the living God. And he called with a loud voice to these four angels who are holding back the winds of wrath and destruction. And he says to them, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Wait. Wait until the servants of God are sealed. Then you can release it. But until then, hold it back. Don't let those riders gallop ahead. You got to hold them back to a walk right now. And I heard the number of the sealed. 144,000 sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed. 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben. 12,000 from the tribe of Gad. 12,000 from the tribe of Asher. 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali. 12,000 from the tribe of 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh. 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon. 12,000 from the tribe of Levi. 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar. 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun. 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. Now there's been lots and lots of discussion about 144,000. What is 144,000? And here's what I want to put to you. Just as everything else in the book of Revelation is highly representative, symbolic, these numbers, just by their very numbers, show us how they are representative. 144,000. 12 times 12 times 1,000. This is the complete and full number of true Israel. This is the complete and full number of God's people. There are none of God's people, none of His servants that are excluded. All are sealed by Him. 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe, starting with Judah? Why would you start with Judah? No, nobody ever starts with Judah. Unless, of course, you're talking about true Israel. The one in the tribe from which the Savior, the Messiah, has come. Judah leads this list. If you're looking through this list more carefully, you recognize Dan is missing from this list. Why is the tribe of Dan missing from this list? Because Dan was the tribe that led all the other tribes into idolatry. And here they are left off of this list as the judgments are poured out on those who have followed idols and turned away from God. Now in this list of the true Israel, what we have is we have 144,000, 12,000, the complete and full number. Starting with Judah. And all 12, we have Joseph twice. So that we can exclude Dan, the idolater. And here's the hope in this for us. That God's servants are sealed. The whole and complete number of true Israel, His true people, are sealed before the destruction comes. And after this, I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne
and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." And then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them with His presence. And they will hunger no more, and they neither thirst any more. And the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Now, when you're reading chapter 6, and you're seeing these things that are happening in the world, these restrained forces, and you're seeing still the people crying out, "God, how long do we have to wait?" And then the cataclysmic destruction that comes with the sixth seal. And then we see now from a different perspective what was happening there. And we see that the angels were holding back the winds of destruction until God's full number of people could be sealed. Before the destruction could come, before that great tribulation could come, all of God's people were sealed. And then after this, He sees a group of people having come out of the tribulation, this same group of people. The ones being sealed going in, now He sees them coming out, clothed in white, being triumphant before the Lamb. A number so great. I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing there before the throne and before the Lamb. This true Israel, the true fullness of God's people, includes people from every tribe and tongue and nation that have now been brought through the tribulation, having been sealed beforehand, are now coming out on the other side, cleansed, wearing white robes, and praising God. And you see down here at the bottom the promises. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will shelter them. He will protect them with His presence. They will hunger no more. The famine won't be a problem for them anymore. They won't thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the hope for those who are God's people. Now let me try and bring this a little bit more to the here and now, because so far we've been up in this vision that's been incredible, but a little bit hard for us to bring that perspective back down to earth. And so as I look around and as I see what's happening around me, there are times when I am disgusted with the injustice of the world. I am disgusted with the sin in the world, the way that people are mistreated and hurt and injured. And I cry out and I go, "God, how long? How long must this happen? How long must this take place before You will come and You will judge it and do away with this sin? How long, Lord, must we wait before You come again and bring an end to it?" And I see around me all of the things that are happening. As there is political turmoil, as there are wars happening, as there are people fighting with one another, as there is famine in different parts of the world, as there's flooding in other parts of the world, as hurricanes come, as earthquakes come, as all of these natural disasters are happening all over the place. And I go, well, this is it in part. This is it in part. But we're waiting for the fullness of God's wrath and judgment to come. And until then, we are sealed. Those who believe that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior, those who are God's people, are sealed. So that whatever is going on, whether it's sin, whether it's injustice, whether it's natural disasters, whether it's loss of life, whatever is going on, we know that we are secure in Him. And through the whole thing, right through the tribulation, when it gets really, really bad, and those who are standing there going, who can stand in the wrath of God? We know those who are sealed by God will stand. They will stand right through it because of His protecting presence with them. And in the end, they will stand before the throne and before the Lamb. They will not be ashamed. They will not be dismayed. They will not be asking for it to end or for them to be crushed or hidden from His presence. But they will stand before Him. And they will praise Him forevermore, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So as I'm looking forward to this week of prayer, and I've been thinking a lot about this passage, I've been thinking, God, my perspective is so skewed. I keep looking at stuff from the wrong vantage point. I keep looking at it from what I can see. It's an awful lot of rain. It just keeps raining and raining and raining. But I can't see what's going on. Until God opens it up and says, let me show you what I'm doing here. Let me show you how I will hold you and protect you and carry you through this and how it will be in the end. And as I'm thinking about a week of prayer, I'm thinking, why in the world would I want to do anything but pray this week? Why would I want to do anything else? Because who is able to accomplish anything when you see this perspective? For all of everything that there is, all of the injustice, for all of the wrath, the destruction and natural disasters and everything that we see around us, this is with the angels holding it back. This is the restrained version. If we're going to have any success, it's going to be because we are protected by the presence of God, because He is with us. And so here's my encouragement to you. Pray this week. Pray, pray, pray. Pray, God, would you help me to see, have this perspective? God, would you restrain? Would you restrain your wrath until the time is right? God, would you help others to see this, that when that great day comes, they too might stand and not be dismayed.
And we get to start at 6 o'clock here tonight. Let's pray.